I have good news for you today. Who could use a little good news? Well, you came to the right place. If you've got a Bible, would you turn in it to the book of Ephesians chapter 4? Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to continue on a series today entitled, as you can see on the back wall, Of a Sound Mind. 1 Timothy is a book that was written to a young pastor named Timothy. And the Apostle Paul tells him, Timothy, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's what God has given us, a sound mind. That word is sophronismos, and it means to be sound and to be healthy and to be whole in your mind. And sometimes when I hear the word mind in English, I think of all entirely something that happens up here. But in both Old and New Testament, the mind is not just your thoughts, but it's also your feelings. It's also your motivations. And so what a great topic, especially during this time of this pandemic. I've read statistic after statistic about how much the shutdown and the isolation has affected us in our mental health. And you don't have to raise up your hands, but how many have been impacted over this last season in your mental health? It's a struggle to keep up on the things that keep us healthy and to keep us balanced. And so my goal over these next few weeks is just to bring as much encouragement into our hearts as I can. And if you want to join me in it, I guess what? I'll promise to be as encouraging as possible, and you promise to be encouraged. Just soak up whatever you need from the Word of God today. And so the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, he says, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor. I want to talk about the power of the tongue today. How many know that the words that are in our hearts and the words that come out of our mouth have an impact not only on our mental health, but on other people around us? And so he says, put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. That's a quote from the Old Testament. It's Psalm 4. And it says, and do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. And by the way, give the devil a foothold isn't talking about some person in your life. The idea of that is that when you leave things unresolved, when you get angry and then you sin, how many know that it's not just a sin to be angry? There are healthy and righteous and appropriate times for anger. But in the midst of your anger, that you don't sin, that you don't go too far, that you don't let the words of your mouth be destructive. And then he says, and don't let the sun go down on your anger. So don't let it linger. Deal with the little issues before they become big issues. Keep a short accounting of the things that are going on in your life. And he says, and if you do so, you won't give the devil a foothold. That's another phrase for just meaning you won't give opportunity for a little problem to become a bigger one. That if you do so, you won't let the devil and all his influences come into a marriage and drive a wedge there. You won't let that molehill turn into a mountain. He says, don't ever give him a foothold. What gives him a foothold? Unresolved conflict, unforgiveness, tension, anger, those things give opportunity for the devil to do his best work. And so don't do it. Our enemy isn't that other person. The enemy is the one that wants to divide us. And so we need to do everything that we can to heal those relationships. God not only wants us to be healed as individuals, but he also wants to see healing in our relationships and in our families. Once again, you don't have to raise your hand, but who could use a little healing in your family right about now? I could raise my hand every day for that one. We have a bunch of people in our household, all of whom are imperfect, all of whom have their own opinions about things. And on a daily basis, we need reconciliation and we need grace. And so he goes on to say, in verse 28, anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their hands, that they might have something to share with those in need. And then he says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only that which is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it might benefit those who listen. Man, that phrase is a mouthful. Some of us may need to write that one down and just say, listen, don't let any unwholesome talk, that's just talk that really doesn't do anybody any good. Talk that is empty. Don't just let empty words come out of our mouth. But think about this. Only that which is useful for building others up. The word is edifying, to build them up. And then he says, notice, according to their needs. And so if I say something to my kids, it's not to get something off my chest. It's not to make me feel better. It's not to just blow off steam. It's because they need to hear something. Or because there's something that they need to hear to be built up, to encourage them, to shape their character, whatever it is, and so that it will benefit those who listen. How many know how powerful the tongue is? This thing right here, the words that come out of our mouth. One of my favorite illustrations, I should have done it today, but I just decided not to. But I used to speak on this topic sometimes if they'd invite me to go to speak at a youth conference someplace, because I know one of the things young people and old people need to be reminded of is that their words have power. Sometimes we don't realize it. We think words are just words. And, you know, it's even different nowadays because a lot of the words that are shared are done so by social media. And people feel a lot more confident. They would never yell at somebody or confront somebody face to face. But boy, they can sure let it rip if they're on social media, hiding behind a screen. And even sometimes with anonymity, we have one person several years back that would create false accounts and spread, say, all sorts of false accusations against the church and breaking the rules. There's still one that's out there on Yelp, and it just it says a whole bunch of false statements about the church. And I've contacted Yelp several times to get them to take it down, and they won't. You know, some of those apps like Yelp, like Twitter, like Facebook, they thrive on conflict. They thrive on slander. They make billions of dollars off of sowing conflict and division in people's lives. I can't tell you how many friends I've had, at least a dozen that I've known, that because of Facebook, their marriage fell apart. Because they got in contact and started conversations with somebody that wasn't their spouse. And you know what I'm talking about. Words are powerful. I started off by saying I used to have a kid volunteer to come up, and I had a paper bag. And I said, in this paper bag is the most dangerous weapon on planet Earth. And I have them reach their hand in the bag without looking and feel. And they were expecting to feel in there a gun or a knife or some, or maybe a fake bomb or something like that. And they'd reach in there, and it wasn't any of that. It was big and long and kind of scratchy and squishy. And they'd say, I have no idea what that does. And I'd pull it out, and I'd gone to the grocery store and bought a cow tongue. You know, sometimes people eat cow tongues. And I would do the rest of the sermon waving a cow tongue at them to remind them, this is the most powerful weapon. This has caused more kingdoms to fall. This has destroyed more families. This has destroyed lives. This has sent people to death. It's the power of the tongue. It's the most powerful weapon on planet Earth. And so I want to talk about it today, and not talk about how to do it wrong, but just how powerful it is. It says each of you should put off falsehood and speak truthfully to each other. Now, there's some of us in the room that don't need this part. Some of you need point number two, and I'll get to that in a moment. Some of you have no problem speaking truth. And so there's a balance. The Bible talks about speaking the truth in love. And so some of us tend to be one or the other. I don't know. Raise your hand if you tend to be a truth teller in this place. Nobody? Raise your hand if you tend to be more of a love shower. And so sometimes we fall into two categories. Maybe we're great at showing love, but not too great at telling the truth. Or maybe we're great at telling the truth, but not so good at showing love. But those two things come in balance. There is a balance to those words. And what I've found is whatever is going on in my heart eventually comes out through my mouth. And so if you take a drink of water out of a faucet and it tastes terrible, where is your problem? It's not in the faucet. Boy, I need to get another faucet. This water tastes terrible. It's not the faucet. It's where the water came from. It's in your well. It's down in your pipes. That's where the problem is. And so if we have things that are coming out through our mouth, according to Jesus, the problem is in our hearts. The mouth brings forth whatever is in the heart. He says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so one of the first places to deal with our speech is by making sure that our heart is right. I was reading this psalm one morning years ago when I was a youth pastor, and I can't even remember what it was that I was thinking about, but I was just stewing about it and just going over in my mind. It wasn't even something that I said, but in my devotions that morning, I read this psalm. I can't tell you how many times that has happened in my life where I'm going through something and I open up my Bible and instead of me reading it, it starts to read me. And I said, Lord, how did you know? But here's what the psalmist prays. Would you read it with me? He says, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And I just repented. I said, Lord, all right, I've been really careful about the words of my mouth, but I haven't been as careful as I should be about the meditations of my heart. And really, that's where my words come from. And so whatever it is we allow our hearts to meditate on, that eventually takes over our demeanor. I'm going to sound like a word of faith preacher a little bit. Because I often believe no matter what the topic or no matter what the specific doctrine is, there's a seed that we can learn from. The importance of the words that we say and the things that we say to other people and the things that we say to ourselves. You remember last week I talked about the importance of not putting yourself down all the time. The importance of not looking in the mirror and saying bad things to yourself. Somebody came to me after last Sunday and said they took it to heart, and every morning they look themselves in the mirror and they quote scriptures at themselves. That's a great thing. Memorize a few verses that are words of encouragement. Say that to yourself. Because whatever you let your heart meditate on is going to take over your whole demeanor. I was working on my little boat a couple of weeks ago. And during the winter already, when the days get short and it gets gloomy and rainy, I struggle like someone that's about this far underwater. I struggle with fighting off. I call him the blue monster. Just that depression and that sadness that comes from this. And so one of my New Year's resolution is to spend as much time as possible outside. Because when it gets this time of year, man, I just want to hunker in like a bear and hibernate. You know, I want to stay in where it's warm and dry and not do anything. And it's not healthy. I just get all cabin fevered, and so I try to spend time. If there's ever a day where it's not raining, I try to find something to do. And so I was out just putzing on my little crusty boat that I got a few weeks back, and I kept singing this song. I don't know why it was stuck in my head. It was an old hee-haw song. Anybody remember hee-haw from back in the days? You remember that old gloomy song? Do you know it? Sing it with me. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. See, you know it. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. I really apologize for sticking that in your head now. I'm sorry, because it's going to contradict what I'm about ready to say. I just kept singing that stupid song myself. And finally, after about an hour, it dawned on me, hey, Mike, if you're going to win the battle against depression, you got to stop singing that stupid song. I said, you are rehearsing in your mind the exact thing that you're trying to get rid of. I said, stop singing that. I know it's a silly song, but I said, you got to stop singing it. You're meditating on, you're ruminating on the very things that you are trying to win the victory over. And believe it or not, the words that come out of your mouth not only come from your heart, but they can also poison your heart. They can poison the people that are around you. And so if we love people around us, we're going to be people that know how to speak the truth, but we're going to know how to speak it in love. And so in Ephesians 4:15 is where that phrase comes from. Would you read it with me? It says, instead, speaking the truth in love, We will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. If we're going to grow up, we need to learn how to speak the truth in love. Both of those are so important. You know, sometimes our conflict resolution when we're married or even in a family comes from the family we grew up in. And both Molly and I came from perfectly normal, dysfunctional families. And in our family, we were yellers. That's how we resolved stuff, is we would yell and then we'd get over it and hug and we'd be fine. You know, that's how we do it. And it's not healthy, you guys. You say, well, it's healthy to do it like that. No, it's not. It was really, and all of us, I'm not blaming anybody because I think everybody in our family did that. But we were yellers. In Molly's family, I've never heard them yell at each other, ever. I have seen the silent treatment, though. And by the way, if you're one of those that believes the silent treatment is peaceful, let me allow another suggestion to you. I believe the silent treatment is equally as aggressive as yelling. It is. Then you say, oh, no, don't, Pastor Mike, and I'm going to step on somebody's toes. No, the silent treatment is me just keeping the peace. No, it isn't. It's you withholding relationship. That's what the silent treatment is. It's a power play. It's a power play. Well, I can't beat them by going over the top, so I'm going to beat them by just ignoring them and giving them the silent treatment. And it's not healthy. It was so hard. The first year of our life, by the way, we were pastoring this church in about 6 months after we got married. And so we were still learning how to get married when we first got, learning how to be married. And we were down in our little duplex. And I remember I had to learn. It's funny. I said, you can't just yell every time you're upset about something. And there would be times that Molly would get quiet because that's how we were trained. And I remember this verse, don't let the sun go down. And sometimes we'd be up till 2 a.m. I'd turn on the light and say, we're not going to sleep until we talk about this. And oh man, it was hard. Being married's hard. I mean, you know, that's true. It is. And kids, this is a great time while you're still a kid. Practice on your brothers and sisters how to resolve conflict, because this is a great opportunity for you to learn how to treat somebody once you're married to them. Everybody say amen. This is so important. Neither one of those, blowing your stack, neither is silent treatment is, it's passive aggressive. We think it's being passive, but it's not. Neither one of those. Blowing your stack, all that is you making yourself feel better. And it's not resolving the conflict. And so somehow or another, we can learn how to speak the truth in love and stop giving ourselves an excuse just because we think we're right. He says, in your anger, do not sin. And so it's not a sin to be upset about something, but how do we do it? There's a healthy way and there's an unhealthy way. And we need to learn from the Word of God at what that healthy way is. Well, secondly, he says that we speak the truth, but we also need to speak love. So I said, some of you didn't need to hear that first one because you tell the truth more than you should. I'll let you decide which shoe fits you. But some of us need to hear the other side of it too, is that we need to speak the truth, but that truth always needs to be in love. What's the difference? Well, if I do it out of love, it's for your benefit, not for mine. So I'm not just saying it because I need to get something off my chest or I want to back up the truck and dump a big pile of manure on you. It's not just to make myself feel better. It's because there's something between us. I used to say this all the time. I said, honey, when we talk, it's not an attack against you. It's an attack against the problem that's between me and you. I just want to chip away at the wall, that big brick wall that's between us. And so there's a difference between speaking to that person in love and just speaking and saying something to get it off your chest. We have a rule on our staff, by the way, that if there's a problem and you need to talk about it, if there's something that needs to be confronted, and there is always, because there's people involved. But if there's any time that there's confrontation or that there's a problem that needs to work out, you're not allowed to use electronic media to do it. I don't know if you've ever noticed this, and this last season has been a huge opportunity for my email box to get filled up with people that are angry because of the pandemic. But let me just tell you, if you ever even think that you're saying it nice, if you do it by email, it's never nice. No confrontation sounds nice by email. It never does. If you send an email or a text, it always sounds 10 times meaner than you thought it was. Because you can't hear tone of voice in a text. You can't hear tone of voice over an email or by a letter. It always sounds hostile, confrontative, and angry. And it sounds like you're trying to hurt somebody's feelings. That's just it. I've got emails from people that didn't even know they were confronting, but it's confrontative. And so there have been a few times over the long years of pastoring and overseeing churches that I've sent emails about something that was tough. I can't remember one where it ended up right. Can't remember one. It almost always gets misinterpreted or misconstrued because people read things between the lines. How many know what I'm talking about? And so you know what Jesus said? If your brother or your sister sins against you, he says, post it on Facebook. Is that what Jesus said? Put it on Twitter, and so everybody can read about the thing that you're mad at that other person about, and they don't even have a chance to respond. It's a cowardly way to confront, by the way. It's like lobbing a grenade over a wall. The only purpose is not to restore relationship. It's to hurt that other people because you feel like they've hurt you. That's the only thing it is. It's a grenade over a wall. And so rather, and I know this generation especially, you know, believe it or not, a lot of us are old enough to remember when they didn't have text or even email. You remember those days? And we could only call or write a letter. That would take like 3 days to get there, right? Some of us don't remember that. But always still, if at possible, face-to-face, and if that's not possible, over the phone. And I know it's just about some people of this generation, it's like their ear would fall off if they actually talked to somebody over the phone rather than just texting. But there's something you can do with a phone call or face-to-face is you can, with the tone of your voice, you can express love. There's something also that you do when you're talking to somebody over the phone or in person that you can't do with an email or with a text. You know what it is? Listen. Emails can't listen. They can only just talk. Emails can only tell. It's one-sided. And by the time you get through the first sentence of that conversation, maybe that person can just say, wait, 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 that wasn't me. Or wait, 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 that's not what I meant. I'm sorry, I said that wrong. They have no opportunity to debate back and forth. But before you've done that, you've already said about 20 other things based on that first assumption. And so, friends, if we could just take Jesus seriously, say, if you have something against your brother, go to them one-on-one and talk it out. You know what you might do? You might even grow deeper in your relationship with that person. You might even find a friend that you didn't know you had. Amen. Our words have more impact on people than we even think. In 1 Peter chapter 3, would you just read this with me? Peter says this, finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called so that you might inherit a blessing. Isn't that wonderful? You want to inherit a blessing? Then give out a blessing. I've said this over and over. If you want to see a blessing, be a blessing. Be a blessing. And by the way, can I just double back on that whole topic just a minute ago? Anytime I address something specific like that, sometimes people have a tendency to say, oh, he's talking about me. He's talking about me. I never talk about a personal issue from the pulpit. I never do. What I'm talking about with emails and texts and stuff like that is an issue that I've faced 100 times over this last year. So don't think I'm picking on anybody. It happens all the time. It happens all the time. And so that's just a general word. And 10 years from now, I could give that same speech because it'll still be going on. Okay? So please don't be offended if you're out there and you've ever sent me an email that I'm talking about you. I'm not. But there is power in our words. Whoever said sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me, was an idiot. That person should never be allowed to write Proverbs ever again. I tell you, I would rather be hit with a stick than have some of the words spoken against me that have been... Words hurt a lot. They do. Yesterday, I just did a memorial service for my son's friend and their family. And one of the things that I talked about was just actually, I read that scripture because he was a young kid. He and his sister were adopted, just like we've adopted our kids. And a wonderful family. Adopted these two little kids, raised them and loved them. And just about a month ago, he took his life at the age of 19. It was so sad, so sad. We loved this kid. Imagine being these parents or this sister. Everybody's just devastated. And all of us wish we could go back and be there and talk him out of it, you know, for one impulsive moment to throw out the whole rest of your life. And he had so much to live for. But one of the things that was true about him, he was a kid that would... was a little bit socially awkward sometimes. And he was a really kind kid. He was my son's best friend. But sometimes he would do silly things and people would laugh. And so then he would do it over again and over again just to get that laugh. And after a while, sometimes for people that didn't know him, it could become annoying. And so over the years, sometimes it was hard for him to make friends, except for a very few people that just loved him exactly the way he was and that it didn't bother him, right? But over the years, he got picked on, he got bullied, and there were people that, you know, you've been to school, haven't you? Kids can be really mean. Kids can be really terrible to each other. Went back on his Facebook page and even saw people posting things on his Facebook that were just unkind. And people don't realize how that stuff can pile up, how just one unkind word can stick with somebody for the rest of their life. Some of you right now, and I'm not asking you to, but if you tried hard enough, you could go back and remember something mean that was said to you when you were a little kid. Sometimes those wounds stick with people for the rest of their life. And we need to be careful. And so those negative words can have a huge impact. We have a choice of what we're going to sow into somebody's life, whether we're going to sow life, whether we're going to sow death. So negative words, they're like that water that flows from a well. And so if we're going to shut down that negativity in our speech, once again, we need to do what Jesus said and go back and make sure that our hearts are in the right place. Ephesians 4:30 says this. He goes on to say, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God." How many have ever heard that phrase before? It's a great one. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God that dwells in our life as we're believers, that we can grieve him. So he doesn't just leave him. How many know the Holy Spirit, if he's in our life, if you've asked Jesus into your heart, if you've opened up your heart to God's Spirit indwelling your life, that means he goes with you wherever you go. That means he watches everything you watch. That means he hears every word that comes out of your mouth. Oh, man. We used to sing a little song in Sunday school. Do you remember it? Be careful, little feet, where you go. Be careful, little feet, where you go. For the Father up above is watching down in love. So be careful, little feet, where you go. And then there's like, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little... All that. That song kind of scared me, to be honest with you. He's watching me everywhere. But the Bible says that because he's with you, and he's not just the Spirit of God, but he's the Holy Spirit of God. That means there's nothing that's impure that dwells in him. When I think about the things that I've caused the Holy Spirit to listen to, or the things that I've caused him to witness in my life, I said, Lord, I don't ever want to grieve you. Well, listen what he goes on to say. How do we grieve the Holy Spirit? Well, listen. He says, get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. That means ill will towards somebody. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. All of those words, they're like acid rain. Do you remember? I remember back in the 80s when I first heard that phrase, and they begin to notice in some of the big cities where pollution becomes rampant that the rain, the clouds can be so affected by the toxins that are in the air that when it rains, That rain is toxic. It has acid and even begins to eat away at some of the bronze statues in the city. They called it acid rain. And I just thought to myself, that's kind of what our words can become like. We think it's no big deal. It's just one little drop. But that one little drop repeated over and over again can have a poisonous effect in our life. And so he uses a bunch of words. Bitterness is picria. It means poison. It means acridness. Rage. You know, that's a difference. It says, in your anger, do not sin. The word rage is thumos, where we get the word thermos. It means to get hot. It means to blow your stack. And so there's a difference between anger and rage. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you know the difference, right? One is when I'm getting kind of riled up. The other one is when I just uncork. And so being angry or frustrated or upset isn't a sin. But I believe going into a rage is a sin every time. It's losing control. Then there's the word anger, which is orge. It means to give unbridled passion to something. It's also a word that means violent anger. Then there's brawling. That word brawling is kroge in Greek. It means to, it's onomatopoeia. It's a word that sounds like what it is. Kroge. It's like the sound of a crow. Just to have an outcry. And then it says, get rid of all slander. That word is blasphemia, where we get blasphemy from. It means railing. It means evil speaking. And then the last one is kakia, malice. It means just depravity, malignity, just evil speaking. Did you notice something about all those words that he says, grieve the Holy Spirit? Is every single one of them has to do with something that comes out of our mouth. And so if we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to rule and reign, if we're going to allow goodness to be there, we can't just let our life be about all of this negativity. You know, I've said it probably 100 times since the pandemic broke out, but one of the best things that I've done to even just contribute to my own mental health is turned off the news. Stop listening to the news so much. I still like to plug in every once in a while. I like to be up on current events. I care about what's going on in our country. But no matter which flavor of news, it seems like they've all decided whether they're on the left or they're on the right. They're all just sold out and 100% determined to make sure that their candidate wins next time. And how they do that is by stirring you up, getting you angry, getting you frustrated. And so if you feel like your blood pressure is just out of control, I got one simple little thing that's better than any pill I could give you. Hit that little button on your remote control that says off. Or watch Hallmark Channel. Almost nothing is bad enough. Just watch a lot of Hallmark. Watch something that makes you laugh. Watch something that makes you feel good. Watch something that makes you love your wife or your husband or your kids more, not less. Watch something that puts you on the good side, because whatever you put in there is what's going to come out. You remember that from the early days of computer programming? It was a great phrase. Garbage in, garbage out. It's what it is. Whatever you put in there is going to eventually come out. If you've got garbage coming out, you got to stop and think, what is the garbage I've been putting in? Because it didn't come from nowhere. If you have a problem with the words that come, do you watch shows where they're just yelling and screaming at each other? Oh, man. I make fun of Molly all the time because she loves cooking shows. And I can't stand it. First of all, well, I don't mind it when they have good food on there. But one of the things I think you shouldn't do is fight over who did the best. You line 4 chefs up and you're going to vote one of them off the island because they didn't make the filet mignon just perfectly. I said, man, I'll eat any of those. I've got no problem with any. I think they should all get an award. I said, Molly, how can you watch this? She watches these shows with Gordon Ramsay on. Anybody know Gordon Ramsay? Foul-mouthed English guy with the blonde hair. And I said, is that really what you like? I said, I got an idea. Next Thanksgiving, since you like Gordon Ramsay so much, next Thanksgiving, the whole time you're cooking, I'm just going to stand over you and yell and cuss at you the whole time. Because you seem to enjoy that. She just looks at me and says, you try it. See what happens. But why would we put that kind of stuff into our ears all the time? Eventually that's going to come out through our heart. I was getting on my kid's case a couple of weeks ago, and I don't mean to pick on them, but I think this happens with a lot of kids, is I was listening to how they were talking to their friends, and it was just one put down after another. You know, they're kind of just competing and joking with each other who could come up with the best burn. You know what I mean? And I said, you got to stop talking to each other like that. And he said, oh, Dad, it's just how we talk. It's just how we talk. I said, I know it's just how you talk. But, you know, it's like that acid rain idea again. If all you do as friends is just put each other down all day long, eventually some of that stuff sticks. And we already have a hard enough time thinking well of ourselves. You know, we don't need that from our friends too. You know, this is something that is so very practical, something that we can do right now here and today, is begin to invest in the people in our life and begin to invest in us, is cut out the negative speech. Anybody say amen?
Amen.
Okay. The last thing is this, is speaking life. I just want to leave you with this, and I don't have a lot. In fact, I want to read some scriptures. But just to remind us, did you know every day we have a choice? You have a choice today, what kind of seeds you are going to plant. And by the way, if you've got problems in your relationship now, you got to go back. What seeds did you plant yesterday? What seeds did you plant for the last year? Because if you're bearing bad fruit, if you don't like the way the tree is, if you don't like the fruit that's coming out of the tree, ask yourself where the seeds came from. Who planted them there, and did you plant them? And the other thing is, now, if you want fruit over the next year, you got to start planting the good seeds now. Because you never reap in the same season that you sow. And so start right now. What are those good seeds? Every morning we have a choice whether we are going to sow life or death. Which one are we going to do? Are we going to choose life or are we going to choose death? Are we going to speak life into people or are we going to speak the seeds of death in them? Because it really does have power. You don't believe me? Let's read some Proverbs. My first supervisor was Tom Ferguson. He was a pastor in Everett. I loved him. He was one of my most encouraging mentors, and he's gone on to be with the Lord now. But he used to do something in his church he called the It Is Written's. They would do It Is Written's. He would go back to times when Jesus would say, It is written, and then he would quote a scripture from the Old Testament. So I want to do this. This is just kind of a little spiritual scripture reading exercise. I've got some Proverbs to read. You ready for this? So just repeat after me, okay? I'll give you the line and then you can repeat it back to me. All right, say this. It is written.
It is written.
When words are many, sin is not absent.
When words are many, sin is not absent.
But he who holds his tongue is wise. It is written. Reckless words pierce like a sword. But the tongue of the wise brings healing. And then this last one. It is written. The tongue has the power of life and death. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Do you know that verse? I had somebody come up to me at the funeral because I read that verse. Just talking about our friend William and reminded him. And there's a whole bunch of people, many of whom don't even go to church. But do you know the Bible says that the tongue has the power of life and death? It matters what words we say. And what words could we have said to our friend? And what words do we need to say to somebody today? What are those kind words? We have a choice today. And we can't control every problem. We can't end the pandemic all by ourselves. But we can choose to speak life or we can choose to speak death. And which one is it that you want to come out through your life? Can I leave you with a song? I've sang to you a couple of goofy ones, but this one's a beautiful one. And I tell you, people say, where do you get these video clips that you show? And I tell you, the last three have been ones that just got stuck in my head. Have been little speeches I found on YouTube or a song about the rainbow. I hear them in a commercial someplace, and for Molly can tell you, I just can't stop talking about it. I just can't stop thinking about it. I can't get it out of my head. By the time I get there Saturday, I say, oh, maybe it's because that's what I'm supposed to share. And so this song is a little bit sappy. It's a song by John Denver from a long time ago. Some of you kids don't even know who John Denver was. He used to be everywhere on the TV, on the radio. This song is from 1974, and he wrote it for his wife. It's called Annie's Song. His wife's name was Annie. Now, towards the end of his life, John Denver had some problems, but this is a song he wrote in 1974 when he was young and madly in love with his young wife, Annie. And she told the story later on. She says it was written after John and I had gone through a pretty intense time together, and things were pretty good for us. He had left to go skiing, and he got up on Ajax chair on Aspen Mountain, and the song just came to him. He skied down, and he came home, and he wrote it down. And he said, initially, it was a love song, and it was given to me through him, and yet for him, it became a bit like a prayer. And so I got to warn you up ahead of time, this is a kind of a sappy love song, but it's also one of the greatest songs ever written. And so would you just allow these words to minister to you today and just receive a song of love, can we? Listen to this. Isn't that a beautiful song? Man, I just heard that and I said, where did I hear? I remember hearing that when I was a little kid. And you know, if you're sitting next to your wifey right now, you could go ahead and grab her hand if you want to. But you know, yesterday I was working on my boat with the mechanic and I kept singing that song to myself in my head. And I said, buddy, you better be careful because that song might just come out your mouth and he's going to think you're singing it to him. But I just couldn't tell you, the more I just sang it, my heart, I just said, oh, Lord, you know, I could sing that about my Lord and Savior, how much I love him and how much he fills me up. I could say the same thing about my beautiful wifey. I say the same thing about my kids that I love. And we really do have so much power to make an investment and to change each other's lives, to sow those seeds of goodness in each other. Amen. Would you pray with me today? Let's just pray. Father God, Lord, I just pray today that you would just come and fill us up with your Holy Spirit. Fill us up with your love and your truth and your life. Lord, may we just realize, Lord, how important those people are in our life. And each day, just make a choice intentionally to sow good seeds in their life. And Lord, I just pray for healing. Lord, for any time that we've been careless or we've been reckless, because we all have. And Lord, wherever we've said some things that we shouldn't have said, I just pray, Lord, right now that your grace would just come and wash us. Wash us clean. Lord, help us to start over. Help us to start today sowing those good seeds. And we just give you all the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said together, amen, amen. I love all of you so much. I can't wait to see you again. Have a great Sunday.